faces around. So God bless you. It's good to have you here with us tonight. Amen. I'm looking forward to a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time this morning. Brother Paul enjoyed that message. It was really good, really good. I like to sing, "There is power, power in the blood."
Well, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
You're washed by the water of the Word. Oh, are you?
greatest God in your existence, and where He's concerned, there never was no sin. For when God looks your way, He no longer sees that sinner, but a saint who's been washed white as snow. Not by anything we've done, by the blood of God's own Son. Oh, are you washed by the water of the Word? Oh, are you washed by the water? Oh, washed by the water of the Word? Oh, are you washed by the water? Oh, washed by the water? Make it personal now. Oh, yes, I'm
alive and well.
He's alive and well, living in me to tell the world that He is the same. He's the same yesterday,
tonight. He's alive. Amen. We're going to go to prayer this evening. We have a number of prayer requests that we want to take to our Lord, and we want to, if you have a need as well, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father. We want to, Sister Cindy has asked that we pray for a 5-year-old, Isaiah, who's had a burst appendix and is recovering in the ICU. Also, want to pray for a dear friend, and this is from the Clayvilles, 19-year-old Joshua Miller, has a mass growing in his head, and he's waiting for a second opinion before agreeing to any operation. And Sister Doris just wrote here, please pray for my niece Vanessa, who had breast cancer and is in radiation and chemo. Cannot work. Her husband has terminal brain cancer as well, so he can't work, and they have 4 kids. So we just want to remember this family in prayer tonight. And then Brother Yeshua's cousin, Amir, is having an urgent medical issue, so we will remember him in prayer. Then we want to continue to remember the Drums. I know they're tuning in tonight. Sister Tina, the Whitlocks. Brother Troy and Sister Connie as well. I believe they're online, so we want to say God bless you to them as well. Sister Grace Johnson. So Sharon McCaffrey's not feeling well, so I'm continuing to lift her up in prayer. Brother Matt Cross as well is not feeling well. And Michaela Shetfield. So we want to remember these needs. Do you have a need, just raise your hand. There's a lot that was spoken here. Let's just go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord Jesus, we sang the songs this evening. You are alive and well. Lord, living in us, Lord, to tell the world that you are still the same, Father. And Lord, we just come humbly to your throne of grace tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, many needs have been read, many serious needs, Father. But Lord, there's one thing about you. You are always an on-time God. And whenever we bow our heads and get on our knees, Lord, you're there. Lord, knowing before the foundation of the earth, before the world was even formed, what our needs would be today. And Father, I just lay my hands on these needs, Lord Jesus, just asking, Father God, that you would just come meet everyone individually, Lord, those that may be here, those may be at home, thinking of the drums, Brother Troy, Sister Connie, the Whitlocks, Sister Tina, Father, these different ones, Lord Jesus, that are our local assembly. Just ask you to go out to them, just give them a special portion, a special blessing, Father, and Lord, many hands that have been raised tonight, Lord Jesus, many needs, things on their hearts, whatever it may be, Father. I just pray once again that through the preaching of your word, Lord, the moving of your Holy Spirit, that you would just go to each and every one specifically, Lord. May something specifically be said for their need, Lord, that they would leave not the same way they came in tonight, Father. We just ask these things in your precious and wonderful name, the specials that will be sung tonight, Lord. The song service, just commit it to you, put it in your hands, Father. And be with Brother Jason, Lord, as he would come and speak the word to us, Lord. Just remove him out of the way. Use that vessel, Lord, for your purpose, for your glory, we ask. In your name we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Why don't you turn around and shake hands with somebody, say God bless you as you're seated. Amen, Sister... Sister Kristen has a song. Why don't you come, Sister Kristen, at this time, and then right after Brother Paul, I think. Brother Paul LaFontaine, you got a song? Is that what I'm hearing?
I can do one.
Good. You weren't going to get out of it either way. So.
Through so many dangers and toils of this life, I have already come. And he keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I am gonna stand on every word his holy word has said, and holding his hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. I'm gonna make it. intentions I've had. Sometimes my strength can fail. And though I have tried the very best that I could, my weaknesses prevailed. But then I remember the promise he made, that in my weakness he is strong. And that's when I know whatever may come, his steady hand will lead me on and on and on. I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that
sitting right there. Brother Paul. He's checking with the deacons first to see what he can sing. Come on, Brother Paul. God bless you. Aren't you glad you're making it through? Beautiful song, Sister Kristen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm realizing tonight I have some of my favorite ministers here, starting with Brother Barry, and then I get to hear Brother Jason, who I don't get to hear very much. And then a hero of mine, Brother Jewel Forney, is back here tonight. It's a privilege to see him tonight. Wow. That is special. God bless you, brother. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. I was thinking of my song, Rejoice, Look What the Lord Has Done. In the last 20 years here, look what the Lord has done. If you know it, you can sing it with me. Rejoice, I'm trying to find a key here. You guys know it, so you can play it with me. Rejoice. Let's try it in G, all right? Rejoice, look what the Lord has done. He drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Rejoice, and look where he's brought us from. Oh, just stop and think about it, and look what the Lord has done. Sing it now. Oh, rejoice, and look what the Lord has done. He drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Yeah, rejoice.
where he's brought us from. Oh, just stop and think about it, and look what the Lord has done. I remember way back when I was living in darkness. Well, he shined the light around me so I could really see my way out. And when the Lamb arose to claim, I clearly saw my name. When I really think about it, I let out a great big shout. Rejoice. Oh, look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
He drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Rejoice. Look where he's brought us from. Oh, just stop and think about it. Look what the Lord has done. You know the enemy is always trying to keep us defeated, and he always sees a point us in everything that's going wrong. But if we'd only keep our eyes on the message he supplies, the joy will begin to swell up, and we're singing a brand new song.
Sing it now.
Rejoice. Well, look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
He drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Where he's brought us from. Just stop and think about it. Look what the Lord has done.
Sing it one more time.
You know the enemy is always trying to keep us defeated. He always seems to point us to everything that's going wrong. But if we'd only keep our eyes message he supplies, the joy will begin to dwell up. We'll be singing a brand new song. Yeah, rejoice. Look what the Lord has done. He drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Rejoice, rejoice. Look where he's brought us from. Stop and think about it. Look what the Lord has done.
Sing it with me, come.
Oh, rejoice. Look what the Lord has done. He drove away the darkness at the rising of the sun. Oh, rejoice. Look where he's brought
us from.
Oh, just stop and think about it, and look what the Lord has done. Well, just stop and think about it, ain't no doubt about it. Sing glory, hallelujah, to always giving to you. Stop and look what the Lord has done.
I'm songless. God bless you, Brother Paul. I enjoyed that. Stop and look what the Lord has done. Amen. I was thinking 20 years. Now, I haven't been here for 20 years. I've had the honor of being here for 3. And Brother Barry has just been an amazing pastor for our family. So much that he's covered, that is so much that we needed as a family. So I'm glad to be here, Brother Barry, you and Sister Becky. Sister Becky, wonderful. I get to have her play for me, which is a wonderful gift. I was thinking, what song could we sing for a 20th? And one that came to me as Brother Paul was speaking this morning, The Unseen Hand. Yes, yes. Amen. I like to sing that as we get ready to turn the service to Brother Barry. It's 29:49 on the screen. Key of F.
There is an unseen hand to me that leads me through the ways I cannot see.
Still guided by Praise the Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. It's been a wonderful weekend so far, and enjoyed all the activities and the gifts and all the expressions of love and appreciation. None as touching as Sister Chanel told me last night. She said that Ava came to her and said, why are we having a dinner tonight? And she said, well, it was because we're celebrating the fact that, you know, the Coffeys have been here for 20 years. And she thought about that for a second. She said, well, is he going to be here another 20? And Sister Chanel said, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll all be here. Maybe, but if not, we, you know, on the other side. And so I found Ava in the line, the dessert line, last night. I went to her and I said, yeah, how'd you enjoy the supper? She said, great. And her and I have a special relationship. And I said, are you glad that we've been here 20 years? And she said, yep. And I said, why is that a good thing? Why have you enjoyed that for 20 years? She said, because I love you. Duh. I thought she just said it real nice. And I appreciated that. And I just appreciate the love and appreciation that everybody showed this weekend and all the work and effort that's gone into making our weekend special. And really do appreciate that. And I certainly, my wife and I, we don't take that for granted at all. And so we appreciate that very much. But now we're here for the last part. And Brother Jason's going to minister for us tonight. And he's no stranger to us as well. He hasn't been here in the last few years. But from the very beginning and back, back many, many years ago, Brother Jason and I worked together. You'll see on some of those pictures of Russia and Ukraine where we traveled together with Brother Lonnie, many places in the world, and especially in Ukraine and that part of the world, and spent lots and lots of time together ministering, and it's always been a blessing. We always learn from each other, and I've always appreciated his ministry, and he's always been a blessing to the saints here. And of course, we know Matt. Matt's been here more recently, and we appreciate Matt very much. And like I say, I never have believed in proselyting anybody except Matt. And every time he comes, I try to, you know, hey, Matt, bigger offering, you know. I mean, name your price. And can't get him, though. But we appreciate the Watkinses, and like I say, known back. Matter of fact, going back even when Eddie was, you know, going to the Tabernacle and, you know, with the Fulchers. And, I mean, just a real sincere connection back for many, many years. And appreciate that very much. And it's been a great legacy of faith and believing over many, many years. And so, Jason, we appreciate you and your wife and your family and all they are to us. Well, I'd like to sing another little chorus. And then we have Brother Jewel here tonight. And always good to see Brother Jewel. And he's a special guy, and great blessing to have him. We'll have him up a little at the end of service here, but we also have another very special person here tonight that many of you maybe not know, and that is Brother Mark Spencer. Brother Mark and Sister Christy are very dear friends of us. They live in our area and pastor a church up there in Shawsville, Virginia, and had service this morning, I assume, and then hopped in the car and came down to be in church for us today. Brother Mark is Ron's brother, and very, very dear friends of ours. We just love to be with them, and they're special. So I'm going to sing that little chorus, I'm Amazed That You Love Me, and we'll ask Brother Mark if you'd come and just greet the church and have a word of prayer over the service tonight, and then we're going to turn right over to Brother Jason and let him take over. So let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed that you care. Let's sing it tonight now. Now, I know it's Sunday night, okay, and it's Sunday night. You probably ate way too much dessert today. So you need to shake yourself. If you need to slip out, slip out. If you don't need to slip out, don't slip out, because that's disturbing. But I want you to put your feet under the table and pull on the gift, all right? I'm amazed that you love me.
Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. I hope you come for a blessing, because I just got one. I got to shake the man's hand. Amen. Let's look to the Lord and just ask him to come. Amen. I want Jesus to come. Amen. I'm looking for a good time. Amen. Looking for a time. Oh, what a time we're going to have. Amen. Our most precious and divine Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, what it is an honor to be here this evening, Lord, and to be here in this celebration of 20 years, Lord. But Lord, that's just a moment of time, Lord. We're standing here looking for you to come. Lord, we step from this mortal to immortality, Lord, and stepping into your eternal, Lord, grace and mercy, Lord, you blessed us with, Lord. And Brother Jason, as he comes to minister the word, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for ministers are standing for the word and the truth, Lord, of this day and this hour, and the message has come forth, Lord. Lord, press persevering through the pains of this life, but Lord, sticking forward with the word of God. Lord, bless him tonight. Give him the strength that's needed, Lord. Lord, for this people, they've come, Lord, drawing on the word of God, drawing on you, Lord, for they're wanting more of you, Lord. And you said in the scriptures, Lord, seek ye the kingdom of God. Lord, we believe in right now, we're stepping into that kingdom, Lord. One moment at a time, we're moving forward for you, Lord. Bless this fellowship and this gathering here tonight, Lord. May your hand be upon it, Lord, and your spirit rest upon us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Sing it. Let's sing it again.
I'm amazed that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood.
Bless you. We greet you in the name of the Lord tonight. We're happy to have you, Forney. Good to see you, buddy. Brother Jewel, God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Jewel and I go way back also, all the way back to 1995. And I tell you what, if you want to hear about the great things of God, get Jewel to start telling you stories. Amen. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll worship, you'll run, you'll fall down. You won't believe half of it, but it's all true. Amen. So I heard Brother Barry out here trying to proselyte Matthew, and I figured I better get out here and quickly and put a stop to it. I had to do that at Happy Valley, everywhere the child goes. And he went up there for the first time and took Rachel and the kids. And boy, Louis really, I mean, he put it on thick. And so I was listening. And so I sent him a text. Louis's a good old friend. And I didn't know he was going to read it to the whole church. Thinking that I had some measure of privacy, I said, Brother Louis, I'm really glad you enjoyed my son and his wife and my grandchildren. But if you ever try that again, I will have you assassinated. And he read it to the whole church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good to have you all here tonight. Brother Mark, pretty sneaky of you to slip in here. Amen. Amen. Happy to see him tonight. And amen. It's a grand privilege for me. It's a little precarious because I have to follow on the heels of probably what has been traditionally a minister at the top of the food chain for me, and that is Brother Paul LaFontaine, his ministry. I've loved it for years and years and years. And so the devil has taken a beating, amen, many times by Brother Paul's ministry. It's meant a lot to me over the years. Amen. He preached at our youth camp end of last year, and my goodness. That Friday night, I thought we were going to leave the building. I said, man, let's just go in the rapture now. We don't need to hear anything else. And then right after that, Brother Donnie comes Saturday and Sunday, and we went into third level of heaven somewhere. I don't know. Amen. So we're just loving the Lord. Love the Word. I love the Word. Amen. I love lovers of the Word. Amen. You're a lover of the Word?
Amen.
It's a great privilege to be here. Amen. So we're going to invite you to Genesis 19 tonight. I want to take a title called The Intentional God. This is, I'm borrowing some of the material that I've been, we've been taking our midweek service, last couple of midweek Wednesdays, in case you haven't been able to catch it as a live stream or an archive. It's intentional. We've kind of had a little closed session with just the men, so I did kind of like a Tennessee men's meeting style with just the brothers at our church. And so I took some of this material there, and it meant a lot to me, and the Lord seemed to really illuminate it for this tonight. I'm not going to preach long. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Amen. But I'd like to say everything that's on my heart. Would that be okay? Amen. If you give me your undivided attention, we'll get right through it. And I just want you to know that everything that I'm saying, I'm preaching to me as well as to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll look to see. Now, I told Brother Matt, now we kind of concocted a plan to where I'm going to run probably four or five more, maybe at least another three or four or five Wednesday night men's meetings. And then I said, listen, when I go to North Carolina, let's corral Brother Barry and get him to come down on the weekend following the last one, and we'll do a Friday-Saturday men's meeting and then have him preach Sunday. So the reason I'm telling that here publicly is so he can't refuse it, and we'll lock him in. Amen. So if he comes up missing in March, then you'll know what's up. Amen. Genesis chapter 19, and let's begin. Familiar reading to us. And we'll read here from verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold, now my lords, turn in." So there's, Brother Paul and I were discussing this today, and Brother Barry, and I think Brother Scott also was there, and we were talking about how that, you know, don't get discouraged just because you might have a member of the remnant of the woman's seed, an unwise virgin. We call him foolish virgin. I don't like that name. I'd rather call him the unwise virgin. And they're righteous people, but sometimes they're Trinitarians. Lot was Trinitarian. And you can't move them from it. Don't get discouraged, because they could still find a way. Amen. They're not going to get a new birth under that, for sure. The prophet taught us that. There's no other name given among men under all of heaven whereby we must be saved. But amen, we know that those there in Matthew 25 receive eternal life because they were righteous people. Book of Revelation calls them saints, means they were sanctified. So it's the foolish virgin are not the Tommy Rot impersonation of Christianity that you see out here today, where there's no change in their life at all. They have no sanctified living, and every fourth word is a four-letter word, and then they go right back around to praising God. That is hearts full of iniquity. Not saying they can't be saved. God can reach them. But I'm just simply pointing out that's not the remnant of the woman's seed. She's a righteous person who lives sanctified lives. Amen. And so he says here, I pray you into your servant's house and tarry all night. Wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into the house and made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round. Catch this, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren." Imagine that Lot had gotten in Sodom so long, he's calling these men brethren. See, now that's going to be important as we go along, all right? And he said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes." Now, can you imagine that a father, you fathers who have girls, and I didn't raise daughters, but I have granddaughters, And how does a father get so poisoned in his mind that he's going to give his daughters over to vile men? See? And so I'm going to tell you something, friends. That's why Abraham stayed up out of Sodom. Right. Amen. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. I pray you bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fella came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So society, this is such a portrait of the day and hour we live in, because Lot had actually became like the mayor of the city. And but riotous people don't care about government or laws or anything. They just want what they want. Amen. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So they had men who were small and great. Remember, the Bible says that the sea gave up its dead, and the dead, both small and great, stood before the throne, stood before the judgment. All right, now let me catch these last two verses. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Verse 22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Let's pray. Master, we thank you now for your word. And I just, Lord, humble myself again and relax myself and step aside, Lord. I ask you now to take the word and feed it to the people. Let me have a way, Lord, to get myself completely set aside. And while, pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by, Lord. Help us one and all. We are all in this thing together, Lord. And we all need your help. So I commit it to you. I commit myself into your hands. Just standing here as your assistant. That's all I am. That's all I've ever wanted to be. Father, they sang a song. They invited me forward. And I just followed you out here. That's all I know. So I give it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, friends. You can be seated. I'm not gonna try to do some low altitude flight tonight, if you don't mind. I have kind of a practical approach in my mind that I'd like to take. That'd be all right. Man, it's a Sunday night. We're not going to hold you long, but I just want you to follow with me. I love this type of preaching where we can take the life and out of the Bible and observe it. Paul recommended that we do that. So from a scientific perspective, it's interesting to note that both sodium and chlorine are actually essential for life. Brother Branham talks about the 16 elements, natural elements that make up your body, your biology. And Brother Branham talked about calcium, potassium, potash, cosmic light, all these different things. There's a number of them. There's oxygen, there's carbon, there's hydrogen, there's all of these various things. And so two elements that are essential for life are actually sodium and chlorine, but in the form of salt, when you combine them together, salt, you have sodium as part of your natural elements, but not salt. You have the elements that compounded together make salt. But sodium and chlorine stay and do their part separately in your body, but in the form, and they're actually essential to life, but as salt, they represent something that is both lifeless and inert. Salt is an inert compound. It's a lifeless compound. The life of Mrs. Lott, may I call her that tonight, Mrs. Lott, ended in an unceremonious fashion. And there is I'm not by any means adept in the Latin, but there is a Latin term called reductio ad absurdum. And it just simply means, in English, reduced to an absurdity. And so when you have a reduction, it means a reduction to an absurdity. And now I get it, and I know there's some people in here tonight. And so let me just say to mathematicians and physicists or philosophy majors, don't throw something at me. I'm just using some theological poetry. Can I do that tonight? I'm just using a metaphor. Solomon did that, so give me a little bit of license tonight. So I get that in the realms of science, it's not a perfect analogy, but I'm using it as a metaphor. And so when we talk about these 16 natural elements like oxygen, like carbon, like hydrogen, like calcium, like cosmic light, and the various others that Brother Branham named, and they have charts that show you all this. And Brother Branham wasn't wrong in that. He was spot on, in fact. And so I want you to think about now, how do you take 16 elements that you are beautifully and wonderfully made by God out of 16 natural elements, and it gives you the function of life, and your life can be vivid, and you can have a lot of vitality, and you can have a lot of pageantry. You can be a famous person. And actually, Mrs. Lott was the head of all of them. Brother Branham talks about that, the head of the societies and this program and that program and any kind of red carpet event. She was like the first lady of this city state area. And they had government, they had kings, they had all of these different things. And so how do you take that something that is so complex as a human body, with divine healing built into it, and it works so amazingly, and they still can't even figure out. They can understand the biology, but they've never discovered the secret of life. And so how do you take all of that and reduce it down, so far down that you reduce it down to two of its final 16 elements, and you compound them into a single, lifeless, inert object? I call that a reduction to absurdity. Her life became reduced to absurdity. Her life compresses the complexity of an entire human biology, her entire intricate makeup. And this, I think, is such a vivid illustration of how that, you know, when we come out of the world and we're told don't ever look back, you know, and yet many people do. They come out, and Paul said, how is it that, you know, God brought you out of that, and you turn like a dog to its vomit, you go right back to that? How have you let the beggarly elements of the world? You were meant for more than that. God didn't save you and say, now you're saved. Here you are at an altar. Okay, you're saved. See you in heaven. You know? I've said to my church for many years, yeah, we are going home on the old ship of Zion, but he didn't tell us to go down to the dock and sit on our luggage. You're here for a purpose. You're saved for a purpose. God has a vision. God has a plan. You are important to him. He sent the message for a reason. It was not to give you better theology than the Baptist or the Methodist or the Episcopalians have. You do have better theology, but that's not why it came. It came to transform you into the image of the Word.
Yes. Amen.
We find the Bible teaches us that the things you gaze at, you are transformed into that. We find, we say it all the time, you are what you eat, but yet people give very little, even God's family, too often times. I find this is true about me. I'm sure it's true about you. At times we have to say, Lord, I need to back up and reassess. I'm giving too much of my eyesight, too much of my time, too much of my energies, too much of my ambition to something that's passing away. I want to tell you something, friends, the world is burning down. And you can't stay here. It's like a house on fire, and there's a woman who was born and raised in that house, and she's sitting in a rocker, and the fire chief runs in. Lady, you got to get out of here. I'm not leaving. I was born here. I'll die here. Lady, the house is burning down. You can't stay here.
Amen.
So we find then that how a moment of looking back can result in such a profound and oftentimes irreversible change that comes in our lives. I think about the time that when Elijah came to Elisha and he was plowing. Wealthy young man, the world was his oyster. He's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Arthur Pink notes that he must have been a wealthy to-do, good to-do, you know, high society family, because he's got 12 yoke of oxen. So no doubt all the greatest, best universities are at his disposal. It's a family of means, and Elisha can be whatever he wants to be. And here comes a wild, hairy prophet, stomps out of the wilderness with a message of doom, and casts his mantle on him, which meant, I want you to follow me. I want you to be my pupil. And he's got his hand on a plow, and he says, let me go and, you know, explain this to my parents. And Elijah says, what have I to do with thee? In other words, and I don't have time to break down the Hebrew tonight, but the narrative, it encapsulates Elijah saying to him, listen, Elisha, you need to think about this. This is serious. Don't do this haphazardly. The king hates me. The queen is trying to kill me. I don't have a church to take you to. None of the schools will listen to me. I live in the deserts. Think, Elisha. Because it wouldn't be but a couple, you know, about 1,500 years later, the Son of God would stand on the earth and warn the people that, you know, about another plow, the gospel plow. And if you put your hand to that plow and you take it off, then you're not worthy. And so here Elisha is with his hands on a natural plow. Let me go back and deal with life. Listen, what have I to do with thee? You need to think hard, because once you go this way, you can't turn back, Elisha. You weren't saved. You weren't redeemed. You weren't informed of all of these things to turn back. And sometimes we have, and we've had disastrous consequences. I'm glad for God's mercy. Has there been anyone more, at least by the world's recognition, has there been any famous person more forgotten than Lot's wife? At one time, a leading first lady, as Brother Branham talks about, she's the head of all the social programs and all the societies and all the famous, events, and she's a mover and a shaker, and yet today she has no known final resting place. No one, you know, thought her life had been important enough to mark it and to preserve it for posterity. There were no shrines built around it. There wasn't even a headstone, not even a marker to show about a former famous life. Nothing in any ancient manuscripts mention her. I researched all of this. There is no Old Testament passage that ever speaks of her again. They have an apocryphal book called the Wisdom of Solomon, or Solomon's Wisdom. Brother Branham talks about that. He said, we have the King James Bible. This is what God intended for us to have. But even in one of those, there's supposedly Solomon made some indirect reference about a warning about not looking back and going back on God. But the Old Testament we have, there's no mention of her. There's no manuscript. There's no ancient map. where that shows an X marking the spot where she so effortlessly went out of existence. No pomp and circumstance, no pageantry, no pageantry, no grave marker, no ancient manuscript, no nothing. A woman who had been at the leading edge of society is just erased from the human record, reducing her once full cosmopolitan life down to two of her original 16 elements compounded together. Everything she was, all that she ever accomplished, everything she ever achieved in her high society life passed from the memories and concerns of the human race forever. Now, in perfect contradistinction, is there anyone more memorable than Lot's wife to the Christian community? While the Old Testament doesn't mention it, while there's no ancient records that mention it, to the Christian family who for the first time, you know, in thousands of years were reminded in the Gospel of Luke by Jesus, just a simple line, remember Lot's wife. Now, no one, if you go back and look at the scripture there in Luke 4, I believe it is, no one asked him, you know, who are you talking about, Peter? You know, Peter was bad to come and say, you know, and kind of give him a little half rebuke. You know, Lord, why do you say, who touched me? And, you know, everybody's touching you. Peter didn't even walk up and say, Lord, who are you talking about? Nobody knows. Everybody seemed to know. So at least among the Jews, there seems to, though there's no Old Testament passage, there seemed to be among the Jews, they knew who Jesus was referring to. And so we find that the Lord begins to warn his family for the first time in thousands of years. We're reminded by Jesus we need to think about her. And we do, and we have. And ministers in the Christian faith have preached about Mrs. Lot for 2,000 years of church history. Brother Branham preached about it. Billy Graham preached about it. I preach about it. Preachers preach about it. Remember Lot's wife. There's a reason for that. The world forgot it. The Old Testament doesn't mention it. But Jesus thought his family needed to be reminded as an end time warning. Because that's what Sodom represents. Remember, when you see Sodom, think about Lot's wife. Truth that we have to face is that though she physically left Sodom, her heart remained there. Brother Branham breaks this down and tells it in story form like no one else can. I'm not going to dare try to emulate that, but we do know that her backward look was certainly not out of curiosity. What it revealed was an attachment. It revealed that her heart, though she physically left it, her heart was still attached to the world. See, her heart remained there. And so this is why that the Lord would later use her as a warning in the context of end time urgency. I think that we need to be urgent about this. I feel urgent in my heart tonight. I want to say, you're walking this way with Christ. You put your hands to this plow. Don't take them off. Don't look back. There's nothing to look back to. It's all going to ash and cinder. But there's another world coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes the Lord directs us in ways that we probably wouldn't have directed ourselves. I'm going to set Mrs. Lot aside for a moment. I'll circle back to her shortly. But I want to think about that. My title tonight is The Intentional God. And so sometimes when the Lord directs us in life, he directs us through storms, through trials. And I have to say this to you tonight, and I'm not minimalizing any trial you have ever experienced or what you might be in now. If you're a believer, Brother David Gadman says you either just come out of a trial, or you are currently in a trial, or you're getting ready to go in a trial. See? And so I don't want to make light of what may have happened to you. I've had some real doozies. I've had some real trials in my life, and were it not for the grace of God, there'd be no way I'd be standing here tonight. But in all of it, I can say this to you, in whatever way God has led you, whatever trials, whatever he had to put you through, I want to say this, and I don't want it to hurt your feelings. It was on purpose. It was quite intentional. And I don't know what you might be going through now, but it's intentional. Say, you just don't know what I'm going through. I might not, but he does. The truth is, friends, that sometimes God organizes our life in a way that we would not have chosen. Let's be honest. We would not have chosen it. And yet he sent us down that path, and it's intentional. I'm preaching on the intentional God. Sometimes he'll move in our lives, and we've all had this to happen where he moves in such a mighty way, there's no other explanation than it had to be God. That had to be God. I could have never, there would be no chance. I had less than zero chance of that happening, and God came on the scene and did it for me. So this flies in the face of what the world believes, that either God is not real, or if by chance he might be real, he doesn't care about humanity. Oh, he cares. I'm here to tell you something. That's why Brother Branham preached so hard. Does Jesus care? Of course he cares. Oh, he cares, friends. Oh, don't ever think that God doesn't care. And sometimes we see him move. There's no natural explanation, and the miracle defies any human attempt to explain it, and it can only be described as a supernatural God moving in our lives. And the point to make here, once again, is that he's moving intentionally. Now, that being true, the fact that he's moving intentionally means unmistakably that he has a determined purpose, because God doesn't do anything for no reason. So if you can accept tonight that he's leading me, you can accept that he has an intentional control. He saved you on purpose. He opened his word. He didn't have to open your eyes. He could have easily passed you by. The age you were living in was wretched, poor, and blind, as Brother Lennon sings, but then you heard, recognizing your day. Serpent seed and perfect faith. The breach and the message of grace. And tonight we say, Lord, I thank thee. Amen. He has led us all the way. And this means that he has a determined purpose, and his intention is to carry out the vision that he had of you before the foundation of the world. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here to tell you, everything is moving you to that vision. It doesn't matter. You might have tripped and stumbled, but I'm here to tell you, he has a plan, and it is uneditable. It cannot be edited. It cannot be reversed. It cannot be countermanded. There are not enough devils in all of hell to separate you from the love of God, and even you can't separate you from the love of God. He has a vision for you and I just say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because I don't always get it right, and I've led myself into some boxed-in canyons and walked over a cliff, and had it not been for the love of God, amen, friends, amen, you owe him everything. Amen. It can't be edited. It certainly won't be rescinded. And it can't be countermanded. Therefore, everything, hear me when I say, everything that needs to happen to make his vision of you a reality is happening and will continue to happen. A lot of times we feel God moving. We get a sense that God is moving in our lives. We don't understand it all. But I want you to know something, friends. That happening that you sense is real. Don't think it's a figment of your imagination. The devil has every kind of a plan for you, but there are, if you, Brother Brown talked about just in another realm, you can't imagine how many angels move on a daily basis interdicting on your behalf to stop. Brother Branham said, if he ever takes his hand of mercy away from me, the devil will slay me immediately. See? And so this is why when we pray for people who are maybe terminally ill, if the Lord's going to take them home, all your prayers not going to change that. And I'm not trying to get God to change his mind. I'm just not going to. But what I say, well, why do you pray? Because I'm commanded to. Because we know that Brother Branham taught us. A lot of times you'll hear him in a prayer line. Brother Paul and I were talking about this last night. And you'll hear Brother Branham say, now, that's Satan trying to take the life of that child prematurely. You see, now I don't know how all that works. Brother Branham didn't describe how it all, even in his demonology series, he didn't describe it so that we can get a firm fix on it. But I know that God may have a certain timeline. God may have something fixed. And the devil tries to come in and do something prematurely. That's why I pray. I'm not going to stand by and let the devil take something from you that he is not entitled to. In order to say, Lord, I'm on your side. I have the Holy Ghost. I bring my token. I claim every redemptive blessing that Calvary purchased. Amen. And I will not surrender ground to the devil who has not earned anything. I just say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The bottom line is that as I urge you again and again, on just how irreversible and how intentional God's plan is to bring you to His vision. And you should rejoice, because if you're like me, I don't always make the best choice. And so I'm glad to know that there's an all-powerful being who can just overrule me and just step right around me and do it the right way. A lot of times our progress is best seen in hindsight, where we realize that He knew best all along. You believe that? In fact, you find as you go along the road a little ways, you know, you find that not only did He have the most perfectly logical, sensible plan, and everything that's been happening to me, though it may seem radical, though I might still not understand it, though it's maybe not the way I would have done it, but it is becoming increasingly obvious to me. I am understanding more and more, Brother Mark, as I go along, that He is leading me every step, and I can just say, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. Lot's wife, in a reduction to an absurdity, I would say to you tonight, as you're listening so attentively, and I appreciate that so much, and this is the real burden of my heart. And if I seem to get personal to you, then just bear with me, because I want to say to you tonight that, is it really where you want to see the summation of your life? Like Mrs. Lot? Reduced to such a reduction? Here you are, full of life, full of knowledge. You've got universities, you've got careers, you've got this going on, you've got friends, you've got social networks, you've got a church, you've got a pastor, you've got family. We're all in this thing together. And would you allow the devil to then take all of that complexity that God has spent these years building into your life and allow that thief to come in and reduce your life? And when he starts reducing it, he doesn't stop till your entire life is an absurd absurdity. He has no love for you, young people, young men, young women. He has no love for you. He doesn't love your family. He doesn't love your parents. He doesn't love your pastor. He doesn't love you. He has one desire, and that is to destroy you. His whole desire is to be above the stars of heaven. He didn't like it when Isaiah outed him like that. He didn't want anyone knowing that secret, but a prophet put it in a book and sent it around the world. And today I know the goal of Lucifer. I know his motive. I know his objective. He wants to rule over you. He wants to rule over me. He wants to rule over Christ. He wants to take the throne. He wants to be like God. And to the rest of the world, he seems to be very successful, but not here, not now, not in this family. And the bride resists him in the name of Jesus Christ and say, thus far and no further. We lift up the word of God, and I pray against him, and I live against him, and I have faith that's against him. Amen. And I claim every promise in the Bible. It burns him that he has the entire world and all societies and all nations and all governments and all schools and all the pulpits, but he cannot get that little bride. She's just a little sliver around the world, but we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Hallelujah. I don't want to see my intricate makeup and all that God did to make me, everything God called me to be, everything God called you to be. You should say tonight, Lord, I don't want everything that you called me to be to end up in a reduction to an absurdity. I want to be everything that you have foreseen of me before the foundation of the world. And whatever you have to do, and whatever you got to change, and whatever you got to manipulate in my life, manipulate away. Put your hand upon me and guide me in the path that you would have me go. God has better plans for you than to see you, your life reduced to nothing. And our job is to cooperate in his vision. That's what the new birth is. You start cooperating in the vision God had of you. A lot of challenges. A lot of things that sometimes we have to face. And, you know, sometimes things that might not even seem fair to you. Whenever I start thinking about terms of fairness and unfairness and who's got the saddest, sad story, I go back and I think about the teenagers who sat in those early churches in those first years where every church was a message church. There was no such thing as a Christian church that wasn't a message church. They were all led by apostles and prophets. And they all were judging everything by Paul's ministry. Can you imagine being the teenagers whose parents, whose home had been destroyed by Saul of Tarsus, whose parents had been jailed, maybe even people had died, and Paul standing consenting to their death, and now you've heard the news? That he's now a Christian and he's the head of the church, and even Simon Peter has to acquiesce to what Paul said, and you're a teenager sitting there knowing what this man did to you and your family. And you've got to accept him as God's messenger for the hour or perish. So God comes down to Sodom to certify everything. It's identical to the book of Revelation with a certifying angel. God had a certifying angel here to certify that it's true, Lord. They have put you out. They're no longer God's mouthpiece. And a prophet had to be here in this day with the authority in the presence of the judge, with the backing of heaven to say, I indict this generation. Imagine the audacity. Imagine what they thought about him. You, William Branham, you've not even been to Bible school. You're going to indict not only a church, all the churches in all the world. And you're going to say that we are no longer the mouthpiece of God. Who do you think you are? He didn't think of himself very highly, but he was God's certifying angel. He was there to certify everything that God said in his Bible. And a prophet was here to say, it's true. I'm reporting it's true. And I indict this generation. You see, when God comes down, he says to Abraham, I'm going to go down and see if what I've heard is true. It's not that God's going to go down and learn something. You understand? He can't have a new thought. He can't learn anything. Brother Branham taught us anything that he's ever thought he's always, any thought he's ever had, he's always had it. And he can't ever have a new thought. So he's coming down not to learn something, to learn is what I've heard, but to certify. God can't bring judgment until he certifies it that they have spurned their final warning. And that was Brother Branham's warning to the church. And he warned them in 1956. He warned America, you'll turn to God or you're finished as a nation. He brings those seals and he says, this is the absolute thus saith the Lord. And when they rejected it, he has an authority to indict an entire generation. And they stayed indicted and they're still indicted. And it doesn't matter how many generations go, it's a generation of indicted people. There's only one people who are free men and free women. And that is the elected family of Almighty God. And we have come out. A message went forward. Come out of her, my people. So once he certifies and he's the judgment is then pronounced and he tells, you know, Lot, you've got to get your family and you've got to get out of here. And I don't want to get into the lanes of that and go between the lines. There's a lot of correlation there when I'm teaching on the book of Revelation because I can see the correlation that he starts out talking to three, and there's two angels, and there's Elohim. But then after a while, he's just talking to the Lord alone. And yet judgment is coming on Sodom. And I'm not preaching doctrine because I don't have all the answers. I don't know how this works. But he's actually trying to help him because Lot is a representative of the remnant of the woman's seed. And when you go to Revelation 12, you'll find that when the remnant of the woman's seed fled into the wilderness and the Antichrist sent a flood after her, the earth opened up. God was helping. God in Book of Revelation is helping. He's found helping the unwise virgin to escape until it's her time. And then, of course, they actually kill to the last man, every last living righteous person. All the 144,000 are martyred. All the foolish virgin are martyred. Moses and Elijah are martyred. And the entire earth doesn't have one single righteous person left. And that's when Christ comes and the armies of heaven following him. Moses and Elijah are raptured, caught up into heaven, and behold, the end of the second woe. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And I'm here to tell you something, friends. It could wrap up tomorrow. We know this thing. Let me tell you something. It can't just keep going on. There are no more ages. There are no more. He's already deployed the last star that was in his right hand. We've already went through to the last candlestick. I'm here to tell you, it's home-going time. And I'm not here to get caught at looking back at Sodom. I want to look at Zion, not Sodom. I want to be up there where Abraham is. I don't want to have to navigate this world. I want to say, I'm one of God's chosen few. Hallelujah. I'm a believer. I have heard, I recognize, and I'm acting upon the word of God. So he's now there to certify. It's true, they've spurned mercy. I'm going to pronounce judgment. It's not like Nineveh where he sent a preacher with some mercy and then they repented and that kind of prolonged the sentence. This is where Brother Branham said, and I think he used the word, it's unredeemable. You can't turn it back. Put a George Washington and Abraham Lincoln in every county. You won't turn it around. So they already are no longer, the church of today is no longer the mouthpiece of God. And he, Brother Branham says, he will confound her through his prophet and the bride. Amen. So that's the team I want to be on tonight. So, you know, this is the correlation that we see here. No wonder Jesus would talk about when you see the days of Lot coming. You know, when you see the days of Noah coming. Because he didn't, as it relates to the judgments falling on the world, he didn't say as it was in the days of Enoch or as it was in the days of Abraham, because Abraham wasn't in the judgment. Enoch wasn't in the judgment. They were with Christ in a prefigure. Abraham was literally talking to Almighty God in a human form.
That's right. That's right.
So we find out then that now we come and there has to be this necessary judicial notice. And so now God can legitimately come. And that's what we have today. There had to be a prophet. There had to be an indictment. There had to be a warning so that Christ can come and legitimately set up a new millennial world. And it has to be legit. He can't send people to judgment without first warning them. That's one of the things God can't cross over. That's part of his word. He warns before judgment. And so we realize then that in that millennial world, I'm so glad to know that that I won't have to put up with sin. I'm so glad to know that.
Amen.
I'm so glad to know that I can live free and worship free, and I can walk with Christ, and we can all be young again, and we can be in that glorious world, that glorious land. I'm looking forward to that, friends. I hope you are as well. That time when the earth is done with sin and nature. I want to tell you something. Nature is already done with sin. She's groaning, waiting for sons of God to take back over again. Oh my, what a day. And it's happening. We know the time of the delay is already over. He already has his bride. She's already in an order of ascending. That's what Brother Branham saw when he first saw the preview of the first church. And then when she come back around again, and in between there is the fallen church. And then the bride comes into preview again. And he says two or three at the end of the line, right there at the last day, right before going home time, that she starts getting out of step. And he said, I started screaming out to her, stay in line. And he said, I come out of the vision. I was standing in the middle of the room with my hands, stay in line. And Brother Branham says, and he only tells it one place that I can find, he says, the last thing I saw is she was hurrying to get back in step. Oh, that's what I'm doing. I'm hurrying. I want to stay in step. And the beauty of it is, he said, she got out of step looking at that other church go off the cliff. And all the screams, and Brother Branham said, all the screams you ever heard. But the bride, instead of going down, started going up. Even out of step, she's already like Enoch, ascending up. And when the bride and the headstone come that close together, Brother Branham said, it'll release the full power of the Holy Ghost. And the dead, who's been dead for hundreds of years, will come out of the grave. Amen. That's the hour that you and I have arrived at. And I know we get out of step, but I'm still ascending. Amen. Sometimes I have to get corrected by the word, but I'm still ascending. Amen. Every day I want to walk like Enoch, closer and closer to those heavenly realms. Once the death sentence had been pronounced on Sodom, it was a dying world, and nothing could reverse it. Now I'm circling back, and I want to make these closing comments to you. I started out by telling you what I was going to tell you, and now I've told you, and I'm going to tell you what I've told you. Amen? That's good Bible teaching. Tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you've told them. According to Brother David McGeary, I love that when he told me that, man, about how to run away. Once the death sentence was pronounced, so we're running for home. You good? Yeah. Once it was pronounced, nothing could reverse it. The sad end of Mrs. Lot demonstrates to us that when you have an attachment to a dying world, it reduces a once vibrant life to an absolute absurdity. You cannot stay attached to this world. It's already been indicted. It can't be reversed. It won't be taken back. It's plunging and it's dying. Don't get attached to a dying world. Amen. The consequences of worldly attachment or disobedient will take what was once a living, multifaceted person, and it will reduce you to a static, singular monument stripped of its core purpose for existing. And what's our core purpose for existing? To glorify God. And imagine that you stayed attached to a dying world, and God had such plans for you and such vital things, and you stay attached to the world. Oh, let me tell you something, friends. I would say to you tonight, detach. Amen. Decouple yourself from this world. Don't stay attached to it. It's a dying world. That's the consequences. That's what happens if a person remains mentally, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually attached to what God has called them out of. They will eventually Return to it. Wow. Be honest with yourself. Don't deny that. I want to say it again. If a person remains attached to what God has called them out of, they will eventually return to it. I'm a pastor for 30 years. I've seen it over and over and over and over. If a person remains attached to what God has called them out of, they will eventually return to it. The last sign, the last sight of all the richness and all the diversity of Mrs. Lot's human life, all her memories, all her family albums, all of her celebrity, all of everything that she ever had been was distilled into a stark elemental residue left standing somewhere outside the city walls trying to get away. She didn't get away. Don't look back. Don't look back, church. Hickory Bible Tabernacle, don't ever look back. I'm not interested in running for my life, looking back, and it all comes to nothing at all. I just want to say, Lord God, give me fresh vision tonight. Let me see whatever thing that you have for my life. I don't want to look back. I don't want to go away from this. Because I find that a whole life can be reduced to nothing, but what it finally clings to, or it can be wonderfully established in the plan of God. The choice is yours tonight. It is your choice tonight. I am going to make it.
Amen.
I heard y'all singing that. I want to sing it again. Come on back, musicians. Brother Barry, come on back and help me sing that. I'm going to make it. He's already said. Don't you love that?
Amen.
Listen, friends, as the musicians come back, bow your heads with me all over the building. I promised you I wasn't going to go long. I'm going to wrap it up right here. There's much more I could say. I want you just in your mind's eye for a moment. As Brother Branham said, this is actually on tape. Brother Branham said, close your eyes to your imaginary mind right now. I want you to think about that moment. And here is a man and a woman and two daughters. And they're running for their life. And suddenly destruction begins to fall. And in a moment, the wife turns around longingly, not out of curiosity, but because of an attachment that she never fully decoupled herself from. And in a moment, and that's all it takes, in a moment, her vivid, complex life of fame, fortune, and glory, and everything she had accomplished, all of her photo albums, all of her memories, all of her pageantry, all of her awards, all of her social life, everything in a moment, she was reduced to two compounded elements, and she was left as a residue that no one even knows for sure where she even was standing. She didn't get away, friends. And you won't get away. Father, I'm asking tonight, as we come to the end of this service tonight, Lord, what a blessed time we've had this weekend with the family of God. And Lord, these words mean so much to me that I just had it burning on my heart to come back around. I took this much of this material to the brothers because I knew. And I've said to the brothers in my church, we want to have a spiritual church, but churches are made up of families. So if I want to have spiritual church, I got to have spiritual families. And if I'm going to have a spiritual family, I got to have a spiritual father. I got to have a spiritual husband. Because the head of every man is Christ. This is the most beautifully ordained economy of God, that it runs down from the top and permeates all the way down through. Lord, let Hickory Bible Tabernacle have godly men who are dedicated to you. Let that cause them to have godly wives and godly children and a godly church. And let the ministry, oh God, proclaim the liberty that is in Christ Jesus in the Word. We're not interested in looking back or staying attached to the world. The last thing we saw, Lord, in our imaginary mind is she's running for her life and she didn't make it. I don't ever want to be guilty of that, Lord. I pray tonight that across this building, from the young to the old, the married, the single, Lord God, may you give us a spirit tonight of determination, a fresh surge. Lord, sometimes life can put us in such a way. I remember when the disciples came out of the Acts 2 experience and they began to have to deal with life and all the trials and all the tribulations and all the hardship and all the rejection and all the punishment and all the threats and all the fear. And they had to come back and you gave them another Acts 4 experience. Lord, may that be tonight.
Yes.
May you take people who have known you and your power and your resurrection, and may you give us fresh revival tonight. Let this weekend have that accomplishment. Let it be said that the word of God and fellowship among the saints, and the word came forward, and the enemy was defeated, and people were lifted up into the heavenly atmospheres. Grant it, Lord. We commit it to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, friends. Now, if you believe that tonight and you feel that your heart is clear before the Lord and dedicated, then I want you to sing this song with every fiber of your being. I want you to sing it like you've got faith and that you believe it. Because the words are not just a song. God doesn't, you know, God can take songs and just make them like the gospel to you. Brother Branham said, God heals through music. He heals through singing. He heals through doctors. He heals through preaching. He heals through... He heals. He cares. The preaching of the gospel cast out devils. Every time a minister gets up here and preaches, Brother Branham said, it drives back the spirits of unbelief so the Holy Spirit can come down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is supernatural, friends. This isn't just head knowledge. We believe in a living, a real and living God who can move devils out of your life and move them out of your home. Oh, let's sing it with all of our heart, like an anthem. This is your testimony.
I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would.
Oh, yes, Lord. Sing it again.
Oh, I'm gonna make it. Oh, he's already said that I would.
Hallelujah.
him no matter what.
That he's working everything for my good.
For my good.
Beside me, and heaven is gonna make it through. His strength is perfect when I.
First one.
Yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In the times I wonder if he can do for me. Just like
sacrifice, the only source of life, and my hope is in the Lord. Lord, oh, my hope is in every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, offer healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. Oh, my hope is in mind. Let's sing that number two again. His tender mercies with every rising sun. That's every day to meet the sinner in his brokenness. Offer healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. In the Lord, from this time on, and evermore, oh, my hope is in. Let me live in all that's true. I just want to think like you. So keep, take me and mold me. Teach me to be still. Trusting. that we find the strength of the Lord.
One more time.
No, it's not in trying, but in trusting. Oh, it's not in running, but in resting.
Wandering, but in prayer.
Finding the strength of the Lord, that's a great goal. That's a great ambition for all of us, to find His strength. Because, you know, we look at 20 years here in this tabernacle and thank God for what He's done. But to me, that only tells me if we've done that much, what more can God do?
That's right.
Because we've learned some things along the way. And we've discovered some things along the way. And it's always best to do things His way. It's always best to do things according to His will and His plan. And we can take on too much. And sometimes we can be missing what God wants us to do. And we need to sometimes do more. But one thing is for sure, we want to learn His way of doing things. And I'll guarantee you that His strength is always sufficient when we come to that place. Amen. Jesus, we're depending on You.
Jesus, we're depending on You, oh Jesus, we're depending on You, yes Jesus, depending on You to see us through, Jesus, we're depending on You.
Thank You, Jesus. I got my mind made up,
and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't.
so long to you. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I got my mind made up and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus.
And all God's people said, amen. Take up your cross
and follow Jesus. Take up your cross and follow Him. Don't be ashamed. Say that you know, that you know Him. Count up the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Yes, take up your cross each and every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know, and you know Him. Count up the cross. Take up your cross and follow Him.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to sing one more little chorus, and we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to invite Brother Jewel to come. Now, let me tell you about Brother Jewel for a minute here. And we all have Jewel stories. And if you live in the southern hemisphere, or in the, you know, the northern hemisphere, you've heard of Brother Jewel, and he's been a very precious vessel and great brother over the years and minister. And I remember when I came here 20 years ago, I sat down and wrote a letter to all the churches and the ministers, pastors who were in this area. And I said, hey, I'm in the area, just wanted to introduce myself. Maybe we could get together and have a coffee sometime. And didn't want to interfere with anything you brothers are doing. I just wanted to let you know we're here. I'm here at HBT, and there's only a handful of us here, and I just wanted to let you know what I'm doing and what my vision is and so forth. And so God bless you, and you know, hope we can have some fellowship over the next little while. It was 20 years ago. I wrote 37 letters to all the brothers there, and I waited. Now, the mail is slow. And I waited, and I got one response. And that one response was from Brother Jewel. One response. He says, hey, Brother Barry, call me up on the phone. He lives just 20 minutes down the road. We had a good chat. And we worked together, and Brother Jewel's just been a great brother. I asked Jason, I said, Jason, how come nobody wrote me back? How come none of those brothers wrote me back? He said, they don't want you here, that's why. He said, they want you to go home. They want you to go somewhere else. I said, well, hey, I'm not here to try to threaten anybody or interfere. Just wanted to be a blessing in the community and add my little part. But the mail is slow, so I'll give the brothers the benefit of the doubt for sure. And many of those brothers are gone on but I just thank God for what He's done over these years. And I pray, and I'll ask you to pray that God will give us a renewed vision for the next 20, for the next, even if it's a year or 2 years, whatever it is. I want to be doing just things exactly God's way. And Brother Jason mentioned it about, you know, getting in tune with the vision that God has for this hour, this church, this people, and, you know, to be doing things God's way. And that's really what I want to have. And I'm praying that way, and I would invite you to do the same thing. I just want to say it's been wonderful this weekend. We appreciate all of you being here, and our guests and visitors, and Brother Paul and Brother Jason. And they're going to shake hands a little bit here before we go. But at their age, they need their rest. And so we're going to take them off and fellowship a little bit. But we pray that God will bless you and bless your week. And come on Wednesday night. We'll have another guest speaker on Wednesday night. Brother Jewel, come on up here and close in prayer, if you will. My brother, it's good to have you. Amen. God bless you. Good to have you. Close in prayer. Let's bow our heads together.
Hallelujah, Lord. Let the power of God manifest itself in your life right now. Lord God, whatever you got right now, do not give up. Just hang up, Lord, right now, and do not give it up. You just keep hanging on. By God's grace. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Jewel. Amen. What are we singing? Sing it. Go ahead. No. Where I'm going, where I'm going, soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm Thank you, Lord, for this evening, this weekend. These times of fellowship are special, are precious. And Lord, may the word of God just fall deep into our hearts like seeds that it might bring forth good things. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of the people. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be used in your part of the program for this part of the world. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have to serve you with all of our heart. Bless the people now, we pray. Bless the ministers. Give them strength, Lord. Bless their wives and families and the work that they do, Lord. We commit them into your hands. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise because you deserve it all. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen. Scott and Carrie, God bless you. Appreciate you being here today. Sing it as you go today.
Do you want
wanna know where I'm going, where I'm going soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going to, oh yes, I'm going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder, be with my Lord, oh yes, going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder, be with my Lord. Now I can take the pain, the heartache it brings, but comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. God gives me grace.